Every now and then, there is some religious group that predicts the end of the world. And they've looked at some of the prophecies in the Bible, some of the signs of the last days, and they conclude and they calculate sometimes a particular date on which Jesus will come again. Which is, by the way, an utterly foolish thing to do, because Jesus himself says that no one knows the day or time. But certain religious groups claim they do so all the same. And thus far, all those dates have come and gone. And the media, of course, have made much of these doomsday theories. But friends, as we will see today, there is no doubt that we are in the last days. Jesus will come soon. How do we know? Well, in Scripture, we are given some of the signs of the last days. And they will be terrible days, evil days, days when sin is spreading through the world. And the Bible explicitly states what one of those sins will be. And perhaps you'll be surprised at this sign of the last days. In Matthew 10:21, Jesus himself says, one of the signs of the last days will be that children will rebel against their parents. Or Paul in 2 Timothy 3 says, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Friends, disobedience to parents is one of the marks of the last days. And so we shouldn't be too surprised at the current breakdown of families. We shouldn't be too surprised when we see children disrespecting their parents. Really, we should expect it, Scripture says, because it's one of the marks of the last days. And so it's of great relevance to us this morning that we come to another of the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment found in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour your father and your mother. Let's consider four things from this commandment this morning. Firstly, the position of this commandment. The position, where it is, the position of this commandment. Many of you know that the Ten Commandments have been traditionally divided into two sections. The first section consists of the first four commandments, spelling out what it means to love God. The second section consists of the last six commandments, spelling out what it means to love our neighbour. We've considered the first four commandments. We've covered the first section. This morning we come to the head of the second section, all about our duty to our fellow man. Now suppose if God gave you this morning the last six commandments relating to our duty to our fellow man, if they were all jumbled up, and he asked you, now you list them in order of importance, I wonder where you would put this commandment. You might think, well, the commandment about murder, surely that should be way up there. We shouldn't murder. Surely that would be near the top of the list. Or adultery, or stealing. How many of us would put honouring parents at the top of the list in our duty to one another? That's exactly where God places it. He places this command, the command about honouring parents, at the beginning of the commandments about how we're to love our neighbour. In other words, God's saying, look, there's something you need to get right even before you think about murder or adultery. You need to begin with your relationship with your parents. That must reveal, surely, something of God's ordering of society. This is a relationship that in God's sight is so vital that he wants to speak about it before murder and before even the relationship of husband and wife. He wants to speak about children and parents. And when you think about it, this is a relationship that is universal, because everyone is part of a family. We may not have a wife, we may not have a husband, we may not have children, we may not have aunts or uncles or cousins, but we all have parents. We may not live with them, we may not know them, we may not like them, but we all have parents. They may be dead or alive, but we all have parents. They may be good, they may be indifferent, they may be bad, but we all have parents. No exceptions. Not even the incarnate Son of God avoided this. The relationship of children to parents is the one relationship that's true of all of us, however brief, however bad. It is a universal condition. And so God starts with this relationship. He starts with our families. And he's saying, loving our neighbour, it starts in the home. It starts with honouring your parents. Don't we know that for many of us, the home is the hardest place to love our neighbour? The home at times is sometimes the hardest place to respect one another. Isn't it true that children generally behave worse in the home than outside? Isn't it true also that parents generally behave worse at home than outside? And that's why this commandment is fifth on the list. The first four deal with our relationship with God. And then God's saying, the most important thing after your relationship with me is your relationship with your parents. And if you get this right, it will make the other ones that follow easier to obey. Honouring parents is foundational and crucial to loving one another, loving our neighbour. The position of this commandment. Secondly, the practice of this commandment. We'll spend more time in this, the practice of this commandment. The words of it are really quite simple. Honour your father and your mother. There's nothing tricky there. The key word is honour. It has the sense of heaviness. It means to treat someone with respect because they carry a heavy weight of authority. Sometimes we speak of certain dignitaries as being heavyweights. That's the sense of the word here. To honour our parents means to remember they carry a heavy weight of authority. It means to give due weight to their position. Children and young people this morning, this is going to be especially important for you to listen to. And you are to honour your parents because of the heaviness of their position. You are to treat them with respect because they're the parents that God has given to you. The commandment, notice, doesn't say honour your parents if they deserve it. It doesn't say honour them if they treat you right. It doesn't say honour them if they listen to you first. It simply says honour your father and mother. God doesn't give any qualifications. Even if you think they're not always right, they're still to be honoured. We're to honour them simply because they are our parents. It's important too for us to know that when God says to us to honour our parents, he's telling us to honour all those who have legitimate authority over us. This is another case of the commandments having great breadth and depth. The fifth commandment is no different. By telling us to honour our father and mother, God's telling us to honour all those in authority over us. That's something the Israelites would have readily understood. They regularly used the term father outside the home. They spoke of their king as a father, or the prophet as a father. And the Bible speaks of elders as fathers, and apostles, masters and elderly as fathers and mothers. And so if the Israelites applied the fifth commandment to other relationships that involved authority, so should we. Yes, the main application is towards our natural parents, but it's towards all those sat in authority over us. That means the royal family. It means government officials. It means elders and deacons in the church. It means lecturers and bosses and managers and referees and babysitters. All those that God has placed in authority over us, this commandment is speaking to. Let me say three things that are involved in this practice in honouring those in authority over us. Firstly, honour involves respect. It involves respect. The world shows us entirely the opposite. Disrespect for parents is everywhere. Children disrespecting their parents has become such a common sin. And it is a sin, young people. Children this morning, God is saying to you, you are to respect your parents. You are not to talk back to your parents. You are to speak respectfully to your parents. You are to use good manners in speaking to your parents. God wants you to be respectful in the way that you speak about your parents. When you're at school and your friends are slagging off their parents, you're not to join in. Honouring parents means speaking well of them to your friends. And of course this applies to our older young people, even our young adults this morning. Respecting parents, it means listening to them. It means listening to their warnings about spending time with wrong friends. It means talking to them, letting them know what's happening in your life. Some of you are reaching major decisions about your education, your career, maybe even marriage. And you're to honour your parents by listening to them, by seeking their counsel. These are things God requires of you. Honouring parents means respecting them. And if we consider the breadth of the commandment, surely all of us are called to respect all those in authority over us. That teacher, that elder, that MP, we're called to honour and respect those in authority over us. Even if we don't agree with them all the time, we're called to honour them. And honour involves respect. A second thing honour involves is obedience. Honour involves obedience. And maybe this is the most obvious way we can put this command into practice. To honour our parents means to obey them. And listen, young people, God doesn't say honour your parents when it suits you, or honour them when you've nothing else to do, or honour them when you've a gap in your schedule. Honouring parents means instant obedience. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Or Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And of course, this assumes that Christian parents will never ask their children to do something that's contrary to the mind and will of Christ. And there's an obligation that falls on Christian parents in this command. And if parents should ask something that's contrary to the will of Christ, the Bible makes it clear we should obey God rather than men. But I know many, if not all, of our young people this morning are blessed with having at least one Christian parent. And while you're under their care and their provision and their roof, you are to obey them. And you're to obey cheerfully and willingly. It's not enough to just go through the motions, grit your teeth, grumble, slam all the doors behind you. That's not the obedience God's asking and God's commanding in this commandment. Honouring parents means instant and willing obedience. What a challenge that is, young people. And this commandment requires all of us to obey the authorities over us. A few verses. Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Or Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Or 1 Peter 2, verse 17, which is particularly interesting considering the king or the emperor at this time is Nero, a violently wicked man, and Peter says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honour the king. We are to show obedience to those set in authority over us. There's a whole host of applications here. This means keeping speed limits. This means paying taxes. This means getting homeworks in time. This means submitting to church discipline. God requires obedience. But we do remember, if the authorities over us tell us to do something sinful, we're not to obey. If there's a spiritual conflict in our obedience of those over us, we're to obey God rather than man. But as far as we can, and as much as we're able, honour involves obedience. Respect, obedience, honour also involves care. In the practice of this commandment, honour involves care. From the birth of their children, parents have a divine obligation to care for their children. But as the children grow up, slowly the roles begin to reverse. And as the parents grow older and more frail, it's the children who have a responsibility to care for their parents. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The roles have reversed. And honouring your parents means caring for them. It means looking out for them. It means helping them, advising them. It means visiting them. It means talking to them. It means listening to them. And when illness sets in, as it inevitably will if they live long enough, still we're to honour our parents. And even if they begin to lose their mental capacities, that's still the time, perhaps more so than ever, when we're to honour our parents. They've been made in the image of God, and no one else but you knows what you owe to them. And sometimes their need is so much that perhaps they need full-time professional care. If that's what they need, you should not feel bad about that, if that's how you can best care for them. Still, this commandment does call us to be the best visitors of our elderly parents, where physically possible. We're to be the most willing to sacrifice, the most willing to adjust our schedules to help out in days when they need us most. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4 is very relevant. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. How dare we fail to care for our elderly parents? And I know a number this morning feel the weight of this responsibility. So Be encouraged as you fulfill the law of Christ. Let's all of us be mindful too, as we think of the breadth of this commandment, as we extend it beyond our natural families, we are to care for those who are above us in our church family. This commandment includes our spiritual parents in the house of God. So there's an obligation in this commandment to care for one another and to visit one another and to look out for one another. The practice of this commandment, honouring, involves respect, it involves obedience, it involves care. The position, the practice, thirdly, the promise of this commandment. Because as Paul points out in Ephesians 6, this is the only commandment that comes with a promise. Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. God knows how hard it is to honour our parents. And he also knows that children find it easier to honour when they're promised something, when they're promised a reward. And so the fifth commandment comes with a promise. The promise of long life in God's land. Now, this shouldn't be taken as an automatic guarantee that children who obey their parents will live to be really, really old. Nor does it mean that someone who dies young is guilty of blatantly breaking this commandment. Sometimes, for reasons concerning his greater glory, God allows people to meet what we would consider an untimely end, even if they almost always obeyed their parents. No, when the Bible talks about living long in the land, it's not simply talking about how old people are when they die. The expression "live long in the land" is a phrase for the fullness of God's blessing. Think of the land that God's talking about in this commandment. It's the land of Canaan. It's the promised land. He's speaking here of abundant life. The principle is something like this. When we're faithful to do what God has commanded us to do, he is faithful to bless us. The way of obedience is the way of true blessing. The promise of this commandment. And fourthly and finally, the punishment of this commandment. The punishment of this commandment. Because there are strong warnings in Scripture about breaking this commandment. In fact, some of the most frightening curses in the Old Testament are reserved for children who rebel against their parents. Exodus 21 verse 17. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Or Leviticus 20 verse 9. Anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. This may shock us, but it shows us the seriousness of this commandment. God obviously considered disobeying one's parents to be one of the worst sins that somebody could possibly commit. I don't know if I realized before this week the seriousness of this commandment. One of the worst sins. And even if the penalties for breaking this commandment are no longer in place, God's attitude is exactly the same. It's dishonouring to parents. It's an offence against God if children are rebellious, if children do not honour their parents. How much more so if we dishonour our Father in heaven? Some of you, perhaps here this morning, are stubborn and rebellious children. And you haven't obeyed your Father in heaven. Maybe you haven't listened to his voice, and maybe you've ignored his disciplining call, his call to turn to him and seek forgiveness. Friend, you should know the seriousness of your action. There will be judgment. Surely none of us can say that we have consistently kept this commandment. We have all failed. No one is the perfect child. Well, except for one. There was one perfect child. It's interesting, probably 9/10 of the earthly life of Jesus, about 90% of his earthly life, is summarized in one phrase. Luke 2, verse 51. He went down to Nazareth with them, speaking of his parents, and was obedient to them. That's a striking thing. How much we would love to know of the first 20, 30 years of Jesus' life. How little we do know. What has God chosen to tell us? What thing has God isolated that's worthy of remark? In all those perfect, sinless years, what's the one thing that God that stands out for us to reflect on? He was obedient to his parents. From the manger to the cross, he was the obedient son, bringing honour to both his earthly parents and also his heavenly father. Even to the very end of his life, he died, of course, while still a young man, not able to care for his mother Mary in her old age. But even on the cross, we see Jesus obeying and honouring his parents. In John 19, verses 26 to 27, we have the incredibly moving account where Jesus asks his friend John to look after his mother, to be like a son to Mary. And so there's Jesus hanging on the cross in the moment of his greatest need and agony, and he's obeying his Father in heaven, and he's thinking of his mum. Friends, one of the reasons he's the perfect Saviour is because he was the perfect child. And we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that if parents in Israel had a rebellious son who didn't obey his father and mother, they were to bring him to the elders of the town. And all the men of the town were to take him out of the town and stone him to death. And it's interesting, at the cross, Jesus was taken out of the city and punished and killed. Precisely the punishment God dictated for children who didn't obey their parents in the Old Testament. Jesus received the punishment that disobedient children should have received. He received the punishment that we should have received, friends, so that today we could be adopted into a new family and into the family of God, so that despite what parents or what lack of parents we might have here on earth, we have a Father in heaven. 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Let us seek, friends, more and more to honour our Father in heaven by honouring, as he gives us and spares us opportunity, our father and mother here on earth. We honour our Father in heaven by honouring our father and mother here on earth. Amen.